Good morning. Court Radio is now in session.
Welcome to Court Radio.
Call 1-800-359-1479.
And the lines are alight.
When you've got legal questions.
Do I have any legal recourse?
What are my rights in this situation?
Is that valid?
And I'm just wondering, what is the statute of limitations?
We've got the answer.
You can whip your pictures out in court and say, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Right. This is Court Radio.
Let me go get the popcorn. This sounds like fun.
And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Hey, 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 welcome to Court Radio. I'm Dean Weitzman. This is your show for 1 hour of legal entertainment. We're here to answer your questions from 7 to 8 a.m. every Sunday morning, and I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, Mr. David M. Rappaport.
Good morning.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, how are you? Maybe New Year's resolution, real
yes.
quick, we could...
Get rid of the
Well, yeah, we work on a new opening theme. Well, we do like the explosion, though.
Yeah, I don't know. That opening theme is it's been nominated for some Emmy Awards.
Yeah. So has it?
Yes, right. It has. It's one of the finest. I've never seen somebody with pants on fire, but, you know, I...
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yeah, there you go. All right, folks, if you're listening to David and I, this is the famous end-of-the-year wrap-up for Court Radio, where we'll... tackle the tough topics that we hit this year and give it their last goodbye for 2012. If you're listening, you'd like to call and ask a legal question, you can reach us in the studio at 215-326-74. Kyle's going crazy. Come on, Dean.
Still
stop.
Doesn't know the number.
263-1003 or 263-1003 or 215-263-1003. I'm never allowed to say 1003.
No, 1003 is bad. Kyle's yeah. still
yeah.
cringing.
Yeah. It's an illegal statement by Weitzman. 215-263-1003. You know, the lines are starting to go now, David, as you know, we're waking people up with
with our voices.
Yeah. With Court Radio, we've been on the air now for a few years. It's been an interesting run. I think you know, we're known around Philadelphia as the guys who have the legal answers. Yeah. And Kyle's the man with the finger on the bing button.
Yeah, bing. No one knows the faceless Kyle.
We all need to have a reason for getting up Sunday mornings. Kyle's is to bing. Or get an occasional slap if you're bad. See? Right. There he is.
Maybe a couple new sounds for the new year, too.
Ah,
we also had the water splash. There you go.
This is a, he's got a finger on the...
He knew I was going to say that.
On the button.
He was right there.
So... where were we in 2012, David? It's been an interesting year.
It had actually a whirlwind year of topics and things that happened. This was a major year.
We were on a political cliff this
God.
Year. Talk about fiscal cliffs.
Yeah.
We were on a political cliff this yep. year that we survived.
Stay in the country. I'm happy to be in America.
Yep. What was that guy's name? Oh, Romney.
Romney? Yeah. Where's he? Exactly.
Have not heard a word.
Not a word.
Quiet.
Quiet.
Except his son. His son said he didn't really want to be president anyway.
Yeah, isn't that great? I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He didn't want to run.
Those schmucks, those guys, the really rich, really, really, really rich Republicans, mm-hmm. the Koch brothers,
yeah.
they spent like $7 billion only to have the guy's son say he didn't really want the job.
Yeah, and they don't even care. They'll spend another $7
billion. Yeah. How did they get so rich? What do they do?
Oh, they have all of Johnson and Johnson, like all the, what is it, Dixie Cup and all that kind of stuff. They sell all that stuff.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, well, it's all them.
Ugh.
Yeah, you're supporting them.
I have a dilemma now.
Yeah, you do. You're supporting them buy all those products.
I don't know. Is there somebody else you can get the paper plates and Dixie and those bathroom cups?
You can go on. Well,
let's not call them the D word.
That's
true. They're the bathroom cups.
I'm sure there's a million different companies, but they're the most popular. People, like you say, they call it that. It's almost synonymous with the name.
Yeah. They were smart to get that stuff.
You can.
They weren't so smart to back Mitt Romney. Hey, folks, if you're listening to David and I, this is Court Radio, where we answer your legal questions one at a time, but you only get one. If you call us at 215-263-1003, let's talk to Diane from South Philly. Good morning, Diane, and welcome to Court Radio. Oh, Diane.
How was your holiday?
Ah, thank you. There you are. The holiday was lovely, thanks. And I'm happy that we're almost through the holiday season. It's something I look forward to, but then it gets to be too much maybe after a while.
Yeah, it was overdrawn this weekend. I mean, this holiday it was.
Yeah.
I was calling this this morning. I've been divorced since 1993. My ex-husband called me. He needs a copy of the divorce decree with that has a stamp on it.
Right.
He's filing for his pension, and years ago he made a promise to me that he will help me pay his daughter's student loan, which she's working on her master's right now, and I didn't get it in writing, and he hasn't done it, and he's real hostile about it. Is there any way that and they need to show proof that he is divorced. I have the proof. Is there any way that I can get half of his pension?
I see. You want to hold that proof as a wild card to get him to agree, but he can just go down to the court and get a copy.
Yeah,
of
that you know. The decree is not inviolate. It's not
nothing
anything
special.
Really special. Yeah.
Okay.
What happens is that you know, if let's just assume that the divorce occurred in Philadelphia. If you go down to the Philadelphia Family Court to the prothonotary's office, they'll print you out another divorce decree, which they can have stamped and sealed by the city of Philadelphia, so it's an official divorce decree. In about no more than about 30 minutes, that could happen for probably nothing or next to nothing. Maybe whatever they charge you to, maybe like 25.
Bucks, whatever, yeah.
It's really.
I got the copy already.
Yeah, have it, but
you have the original.
A, he can get it, and B, unless he's, you know. Really feeling very altruistic. I don't think you're going to get him to pay for half of the your daughter's education at this point. But you know what, Diane, you bring up a great point, and unfortunately, you'll be today's learning lesson. If it's not written down, it doesn't exist. People's memories become fuzzy after 19 years or so, and or they know that they made that obligation, but circumstances changed. Or if they're really evil, they always knew they weren't going to live up to that obligation, and they were happy that you did it without having it written down.
He knew it.
Yeah.
He goes
into category number three. He's just evil.
Selfish, but someone told me that I should look through the divorce papers and see if it's anything written in the divorce papers. But I'm not going to give up though.
If you had an agreement.
Obviously, if there's something in, because in the law changed in Pennsylvania, maybe right around that time, where it no longer became an obligation. It used to be in Pennsylvania that it was an obligation for a father. The high income earner or parents generally to support their children even after the age of minority, after they became adults, 18, if they pursued a college education.
And she did that.
But the law changed. The law changed back when you got divorced, and it no longer became a legal obligation. And so the only way you could get that is by an agreement. Written in that divorce decree or written in the property settlement agreement. So check the papers out.
Yes, I was going for my file cabinet all day yesterday looking for my original divorce papers, and I do have the divorce decree, which everything is written in, and I do have the paper that's stamped because I just went to City Hall and got it. But I did him a favor years ago and told him and lied and said that, all right, you've been paying child support because he was going to lose his license, and that's what I did. I should have put it in writing.
Yep.
But goes around, comes around. I'm gonna be okay.
Go for it, Diane. Good. All right.
I am. I'm a South Philly girl.
Happy, and a healthy New Year, dear.
Year.
Thank you. All right. Have a great day. 215-263-1003 gets you into the studio where David and I are going to try to tackle your tough legal questions. Well, David, this has been a heck of a year legally speaking.
Yes.
A lot going on that we tackled here on Court Radio. And I guess the number one thing is the shocker of all shocks, the what seems to be a conservative Supreme Court, one you can never kind of, you know, figure out, but if you had to take a guess on any given day, you'd say that you're not comfortable with this Supreme Court makeup, you know?
Right.
They have a tendency, a want to side with big business and against the little people. And,
right.
You know, how about the, it wasn't this year, but their decision to allow corporations to fund political campaigns.
Yeah.
Does that change the landscape in this country?
Well, that was one of the shockers of 2012. It certainly changed the way the campaigns went and all that money that was spent. But in the end, look what happened.
In the end,
we prevailed.
People
prevailed.
Yeah, with their $3 and $5 donations, they beat the Koch brothers.
And they waited hours and hours to vote.
Yeah.
Just to have that right to do it. It was kind of inspiring in a way.
It was very inspiring. It was a little bit of old America, you know, what this country was founded on. You know, not the landowners and the gentry. You know, not the Koch brother kind. They were struck down by the people who said no.
Yeah, you know, you said what comes around goes around.
Diane said that.
Diane said that. Yeah. It is an ebb and flow of things. I mean, we saw a lot of stuff this year against people, like the Wisconsin with that whole workers' rights and everything, and everyone tends to poo-poo. You like that?
I knew you get a little poo-poo.
Everyone tends to poo-poo, like, unions and all that, but... You know,
is poo-poo something from, like, the Northeast? If you went to Washington High School or you lived in that area, I do not believe there
everyone
are parts,
deals with poo-poo.
No, I don't think...
You have a dog, don't you?
There are parts
what
of
do
the
you pick
city...
Up?
There are parts of the city where nobody has uttered the words poo-poo in a long time.
Kyle?
You see? I got an agreement. Okay, all right.
Whatever.
Go ahead.
Bottom line is, you know, you got me on. Now I'm off of the topic I was talking about, and now I'm thinking of the poo poo. I don't know. I said first of all, I was using it in the vernacular. You poo poo something. I don't know. Help me, callers. Call in if you've ever heard the word poo-poo before.
All right, let's talk to Gina from Germantown, who has a land ownership question. Good morning, Gina, and welcome to Court Radio. We're going crazy here today. It's the end of the year.
Okay. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
I have a question about land ownership. It's a small issue, but I need to know how to proceed legally with it. So I was hoping to get your advice this morning.
Go for it.
Okay. Now, my maternal grandmother died over 20 years ago, but she owned a small piece of land that's now been taken over by a nature conservatory. However, my aunt has, she still has a legal document proving this legal document. Excuse me, I'm kind of nervous. This
okay.
legal document proving that she was the executor of my grandmother's estate. So,
okay.
She's been paying the taxes on this land all this time.
How did the Nature Conservancy take it over? Do you know?
All I know is we went to go and pay the taxes on the land, and basically the person in the office that we went to said, "Let me show you something." They showed us this big map, and they showed us the area where my grandmother's little piece of land was. And they're saying that it's now owned by a nature conservatory. And I think they attempted to contact my aunt, but my aunt had already been paying taxes on it. And I don't know how it was done, but that's what we found out. I guess it's such a small piece of land.
Well, let me ask you a question. What state is that in?
I believe it's somewhere in Delaware, someplace... In Delaware, I believe. I think
well,
it's like
Gina,
Cape May, New Jersey, or something like that.
Okay, so it's either Cape May, New Jersey,
or Delaware.
Okay, here. Well, that's all right. But the point is that land ownership are issues that are very state specific. States develop bodies of law and statutes and regulations that deal with land ownership, and it's not something which is addressed the same from one state to the next. There is something called adverse possession, and that means simply that if I treat your land as my land, if I live on it, if I pay taxes on it, if I own it, if I act like I'm the owner of your land, and I do that for a long enough period of time, and you don't fight that, you don't claim a stake in the land, then you may lose your right to the land. Now, I don't know how long the Nature Conservatory or Conservancy group has asserted an interest in that land or acted like they owned it, but that's an important question. If it was for 20 years, you could have lost the right to it. If it was for 3 years or 5 years, you probably didn't, and then you just need to go in there and grab the land back.
The one thing we do know, though, regardless of what state it is, no one can just take the property without some type of formal process. You know, paperwork has to be filed. They have to actually gain the right by deed or whatever. So,
no, possession.
You still have to adverse possession, but you still then assert it by getting the deed in your name. In other words, if the deed is in the grandmother's name still, they have to formalize.
Yes, I would tend to agree with David.
So there has
in
to
that
be
regard.
Some process that they did to formalize it.
Well, no, but they could still do that.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, if this Nature Conservatory is acting like it's their land, they could go in and say, "Yes, we've been using this land for 25 years. It's we have houses on this land. We have goats are eating the grass on this land. It's our land. We've been paying taxes, and we're going to go forward and claim this land to be our own."
All right. Here's the advice.
Because my aunt has been paying the taxes.
I agree.
She's still paying taxes.
She's been paying.
She would like to stop paying the taxes on the land.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. You got to find out what state it's in, number one.
Mm-hmm.
What county. You got to go to that county seat and get the paperwork, meaning the deed, the transactions, the history. You can hire a title company to do it. It wouldn't cost that much money to hire a title company to do a title search. That would give you the entire history of who owned the property and when it was given up and that kind of stuff. And then you could find out at least when, if it was ever done, they took it over. If it was never done, at least you got to start there. Then from that information, you can, I would say, have to get a lawyer.
But let me ask you a question. Your bottom line was that you said you want to give it up in a sense. You want to stop paying the taxes on it.
Well, the thing is, she's been paying the taxes for so long, and every time they send her something, they have, well, basically to show her what the net value is.
Right.
And they're saying the net value is like $1,100. That's what they're saying.
Well, that's the assessed value, probably. It's probably
Do you want to put a fence around it and build a house and go down there and live?
I don't know if it's that type of land.
She just wants
I've never
the value.
Seen it. They're saying it's like a swampy area. I don't know.
Some swampland in New Jersey.
Well, you're entitled as owner. Any owner would be entitled to get the value of the property if they quote unquote took it, unless they took it rightfully.
Or
so that's
what
you need to find out.
Or your aunt can donate it to the conservatory,
right,
and then get a tax break.
Sure.
You know, so there's some things you
can
do.
It would need to be assessed for the value of
it,
obviously.
Obviously.
Okay.
But all these things are not very expensive to do. A title search, appraisal of the value. You're talking under $1,000 probably.
And then handing the property over, you can the Nature Conservatory can be the ones who prepare a deed,
right,
you get them to prepare the deed so that it's out of your name and in their name.
And
that's
then she doesn't have to
that's
pay.
The key here, I right. guess, is that we all tend to just do things and not record it, do it officially, and then, you know, what happens is a grandson ends up coming into my office about his great-great-great-grandparents' house that was never transferred.
Still their name.
It's still in their name. 7 generations have passed, and, you know, it just gets very complicated and expensive. So you got to take care of it now. Go down there and do this for her.
Okay. Thank you for your advice, gentlemen.
Yeah. She's getting charged taxes because she has to be listed as an owner.
Right.
There's no question.
215-263-1003. So the Supreme Court.
Yes,
you know,
back to that.
Yeah, we still haven't
hit. Oh, that's where we were.
We haven't hit the number one thing.
Well,
in our list of 10 things.
Well, you were talking about how the Supreme Court, you would think.
And the reason, the segue was.
Right.
Segue is the antithesis was that you of would... poo-poo. Segue into this. The Supreme Court gave Obama the thumbs up for the Health Care Act.
Right.
And they decided that it was
constitutional,
legal. And it was constitutional. And who? No one ever thought that was going to happen.
Roberts. Yeah, Justice Roberts.
Yeah.
The appointee of Bush.
He still has a future in my eyes. I think that that justice might surprise us as the years go by.
Obviously.
He may become somebody we can count on to be a human being.
Well, he's Chief Justice, and he's concerned about the legacy, as they all should be.
Yeah.
And he realized what was right and what was wrong, I think, and said, do we want to be looked at as being political? Which they're not supposed to be.
But they really were tending to be political.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to look back at the Supreme Court's politicism, you go back to the Bush era when Florida had the hanging Chad.
Mm-hmm.
And the Supreme Court clearly made a decision that was purely politics and had nothing to do with the law. And I lost a little respect for them at that point.
And ever since then you have, I mean, I hate to point them out, but I will.
Go for it.
Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia.
Yeah.
Who are just clearly, they've almost come out and say that they're, Thomas says nothing. Scalia is the one who's outspoken.
Yeah, Thomas is afraid of the media.
He says nothing. Yeah. But Scalia is almost open about it, that he's totally, you know, a bent that is very right-wing conservative, you know, politically. And he uses that in his...
It's unfortunate because, again, the Supreme Court, in my mind, is the last bastion of freedom for the average common man.
Shouldn't be influenced by politics in any way,
no.
Even though they're appointed by certain, you know, they once they get in there, you kind of hope that they get their own voice.
Right. But if they're going to make decisions, I always think that they should make those decisions in favor of human beings, you know,
rather than corporations.
Yeah. I mean, when in doubt, you know, give the little guy a shout.
Yeah, well, you would think.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, so Obamacare.
215-263-1003. Let's talk to Ernie from Bethlehem. Wow. Bethlehem is an appropriate town for this time of the year, Ernie.
Yes, sir, it is.
All right. Well, that's why we picked you today, because, you know, we figured you were tight with some important people from Bethlehem.
We need some music.
If you want to choir. Call it,
All right. Thank you. Give us a little prayer for Court Radio for 2013. And what's your question?
I got a question for you guys. I got a divorce in 2005. My ex-wife got primary physical custody. We both got joint legal custody. We had an agreement with the attorneys that I would claim him even years and she would claim him odd years when it came time to do our taxes.
All right.
Recently in 2010, when I did my taxes, I got a letter from the IRS telling me that she claimed him also. The IRS accepted the letters that I have sent to them in the meantime over the years, but now all of a sudden they're telling me that the agreement has to be in the divorce decree. I read the copy of the divorce decree, but the attorney never put the agreement in the decree, and now the IRS is not accepting those letters. And she is going to continue to claim him because all of a sudden she decided that she says that, you know, he lives with her and she's going to claim him. So I'm pretty much getting shafted on that deal. And now the IRS is asking me for the money back because she's claiming him.
They're going retroactive back to the beginning?
Yes, they are.
Wow.
And it's to the point now where they're not accepting the letters, but, you know, it was accepted before. And even though the attorneys agreed, and it says on there that, you know, she agreed to the odd and even.
Where does it say that? Where does it say that?
Yeah.
It says on the paperwork of the attorneys, the letters that the attorneys made up in the agreement that she agreed to the even and odd.
Was it an agreement signed by you and her?
Not signed by us, but it was agreed upon by the attorneys over our discussion.
That's the problem.
Yeah. You know, well, this may be, and here's where you're going to run into a problem is that with the statute of limitations, but maybe you get around the statute. I certainly wouldn't let that stop you from doing what I'm about to say, and that is if there's enough money involved, you may want to bring a legal malpractice claim against your attorney, because that's clearly something that should have been in the agreement.
First of all, there should have been a formal agreement with terms that was signed by you and her and then incorporated into the divorce decree, which is exactly, the IRS is correct. That's how it's done. So what basically the IRS is saying, and we happen to agree, is there really isn't an agreement, because an agreement is something that would, as Dean said earlier, you know, signed and in writing and you all agree to it. Just the attorneys agreeing back and forth means really nothing.
You were going to say bupkis.
Poo-poo.
I thought for sure you were going to say bupkis.
Okay, is that a Northeast term, too?
Absolutely. Bupkis. Oh, no, that's not a Northeast. Okay, yeah. In South Philly, they're saying bupkis and poo-poo all the time. Okay. All right, listen. Ernie, you know, I don't know how much is at stake, but, it, you know, and I...
Quite a few thousands of dollars.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's not inexpensive to bring a legal malpractice suit, but that term, just, you know, at first blush, should be something that was in your divorce decree or a property settlement agreement signed by all parties. If it was something that you expected to be a part of the agreement and all it is in letters between the attorneys, you might have a claim for legal malpractice. It's something to explore, but it's something I would explore quickly because time is of the essence. And it sounds like this went back to 05, so you're already 7 years down the road. Now, there is, and usually there's a 2-year statute of limitations, but in this case, it may have been extended because, you know, this issue did not come really to the forefront until recently.
You also, I think, have an issue with the IRS because you I think, justifiably relied, and she actually did not file those other years. You might have an argument with them too. That's going to require a lawyer, definitely. Someone familiar with.
Can you guys recommend a good lawyer down there?
Absolutely. Well, listen, you can always give us a call. I'm not sure we're going to handle this claim, but
as
always is the case. My Philly Lawyer is a one-stop shop. You give us a call. If we can't handle it or don't want to, we'll get you to the right party. Call us at 215-227-2727. 215-227-2727. That's the place, really is the beginning and end of all legal issues in Philadelphia.
You'll be hearing from me. Thank you, gentlemen.
See you, Ernie.
Okay.
All right, folks. If you're hearing us, we're here. We're alive. We're well. 215-263-1003 gets you into the studio, where David and I will do our best to tackle your legal issues. And right now, we're kind of working our way through the most important legal issues for 2012. And the top one in our book is the Supreme Court's decision on health care. And we're going to see as time goes by that more folks are going to be covered by health care benefits in a way that's more equitable across the board. And all those naysayers who say, oh, it's going to be the downfall of business and this and that.
Of the world.
They're just mistaken. All right, we're going to be right back after these important sponsored announcements.
Your child broke a window, but you taught them to be responsible for their mistakes. They do the right thing. Doing the right thing isn't what insurance companies do best. I'm Dean Weitzman of My Philly Lawyer. Call us at 215-227-2727. Doing the right thing means more than saying I'm sorry. It means paying for the injuries your mistake has caused by making insurance companies pay. Call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weissman.
Okay, there you go. Welcome back. It's Court Radio, and I'm Dean Weissman, your host. 1 hour, 7 to 8 a.m. every Sunday morning, where we tackle the thorny legal issues of Philadelphians and New Jersey people and people from Delaware. They're everywhere. You know, if you can hear me, then I probably can help represent you in whatever ails you. So, as we move forward in 2013, always feel free to give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727, or like us on Facebook. Yes, I've been trying to get more likes. I'm at around 800 likes on Facebook for the My Philly Lawyer page. If you do a search on My Philly Lawyer for Facebook, you Facebook fanatics, FFers.
700 of them are him pressing like over and over and over again.
Oh, you hater. You.
I am a hater.
No, but I want to get over 1,000 likes if I can before the end of the year. We only have a few more days and a couple hundred likes. So, folks, if you're listening to me and you're participating in Facebook, why don't you go to My Philly Lawyer's Facebook page, check it out, and give me a like.
He needs to be liked.
Well, yes, that's true, don't we all? But, yeah, let's see if I can get a couple hundred likes out of the family of Court Radio listeners. There you go, folks. You can do something for Dean this week. And I will do something for you, like What's answer that? Your question. I'm going to talk to Shirley from Upper Darby. Good morning, Shirley, and welcome to Court Radio.
Shirley?
Oh, Shirley. Oh, Shirley. Oh! Poor Shirley.
Shirley is sleeping or listening to the radio.
Yeah, she just ran to like My Philly Lawyer.
Right, she's trying to find it.
Yeah. All right, well, Shirley, if you're listening, by all means, feel free to give us a call back.
Now, you're confusing people. You're confusing me. Liking My Philly Lawyer's Facebook page or liking Court Radio Facebook page?
Well, you can do both.
Okay.
In one fell swoop. But what I was saying was there's 800 likes on the My Philly Lawyer
How
page.
How many on Court Radio, do you know?
You know, I don't. I didn't check that out recently.
I can find out.
Yeah. So if you're listening and you can get onto Facebook, you can like both My Philly Lawyer and Court Radio, a double pack of likeness. and then, you know, we'll like you right back. All right, let's try Mike from Yaden, who's got an alimony question. Good morning, Mike, and welcome to Court Radio. Michael?
Wow.
There's technical problems. It's got to be because
they're sitting at... who's that?
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
You're not Mike.
Hello? Hi.
Hello. Hi, this is Shirley.
It's Shirley from Upper Darby. Hello, yes. Shirley. How are you,
Hi.
Dear?
Oh, my God. I was so scared. I've been trying to get on since last week.
Okay. Well, we didn't lose you.
We didn't lose you. You've got a question, dear. What's your question?
Yes. I was awarded my house by the court, and my husband had never put my name on the house. He had the deed of the house. And he did pay the mortgage, and the house was in foreclosure. So he did not want to give me the deed. He sent it back to the bank. And when I tried to talk to the bank about making payments on the house, they wanted nothing to do with me because the deed was on his name and he sent them the deed back. So he had the lights, the utilities cut off, and I had to move out of the house because our light bill was like $5,000, and I didn't have that. So the bank wants nothing to do with me, but I still have the court papers saying that the house was awarded to me. I tried to send them the papers stating that, and they never replied back to me because now that they have the deed. I just want to know what are my options at this point.
Okay, here's your here's your I'm going to give you your options, and none of them are easy. Okay, it's because you're in a sticky situation, and you have an interesting Upper Darby accent, by the way.
No, I'm not from Upper Darby. I'm from Haiti.
Ah, there you go. I kind of heard that. That little lilt, the island lilt from Haiti.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And poo-poo means I'm number two, which is funny.
Ah, there you go. I know.
See, well, you are number two.
We know that. Yeah, right. it depends on how you use it.
Right. Poo-poo.
When we poo-poo something, we say we don't like it.
So that's number two.
When we carry a plastic bag behind our dog, we pick up poo-poo.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So there you go.
We've
that's my word. This is it. We've degraded to poo-poo for 2012.
All right.
But
so
anyway,
I have an answer for this young lady's question.
Dean has an answer.
I need help, please.
Okay. Well, the question oftentimes, you know, when you get down to it in the law, what the law can do is they can give you money sometimes or they can give you your property back. The question is, what is it you lost? Okay. And so you always have to get back to that. If you have a house and the house is underwater, as they say, which means that you owe more on it than it's worth, then one questions what it is you lost. You may have actually gained by losing. Mm-hmm. With that being said, if the house had value, let's say you had $1 million house that your husband in the divorce was supposed to transfer to you. He didn't transfer it to you and instead transferred it to the bank. Well, there's a couple things.
He refused to divorce me.
He refused to divorce you, and I can understand why, too.
Mm-hmm.
But one has to wonder. So he didn't give you the property, but in the divorce decree, the court awarded it to you. And so he's in violation of the divorce decree. So you could sue.
Not divorced.
Why
I have a PSA against him, and the judge decided to award me the house, and it got him evicted out of the house.
When you say awarded you
what does
the
that
house,
mean, awarded?
Did you mean the judge said you can live in the house?
No, the judge, because of the situation between him and I,
right.
It was a very abusive marriage that I was in for 11 years. And the thing is, financially, he had all the, you know, he basically, you know, acted as you know, I was his property.
Okay, what was the wording of the
the Islanders? The they love to tell a good story.
Yeah.
All right, here's wait a minute, hold on. Dean's going to direct you now.
Yeah.
you need some direction. Okay, what is it that the judge gave you that you think gives you the legal interest in this home?
What's the wording he used, or if you have it?
The thing was, in the paper, it states that the property and everything that I acquired during the marriage was to be transferred to me.
Okay. But this was not in a divorce decree. Nobody filed for divorce. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, he would not sign divorce papers. He doesn't want to get a divorce. He just actually has vanished.
Okay.
And I have no way of
but
making
this,
contact with
this judge, this judge that signed this paper, he was actually a family court judge, and this was in a divorce proceeding. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. See, you have to direct people. Okay, so what I'm going to say is that your husband was supposed to give you the property in this divorce process. Whether that's been finalized or not, the judge in the divorce process awards you the house. Husband doesn't give you the house and instead signs a deed over to the bank, and the bank takes the house. Well, you have a couple of things going on here, and you can sue your husband for the value you lost, if the value of the house, but you can't find your husband. So you can file an action called a lis pendens. This was all I wanted to do, is get to that word.
Wow.
Latin. On Sunday morning, a little Latin for E. Stephen Collins. Lis pendens, L-I-S-P-E-N-D-E-N-S, I believe. Lis pendens. And what that means is that there's a dispute over the ownership interest of this property. Is it owned by you? Is it owned by your husband? Is it owned by the bank? You got three parties all claiming an interest. You will tie the property up in court for quite some time while this is being decided. You may win, you may lose. Here is the problem. You're going to have to pay a lawyer legal fees in order to make this happen. Nobody's going to do it without being paid substantial legal fees up front in advance to make this litigation on your behalf. The bank then would go in, I assume, and get their attorneys, and they'd all be fighting over it. And maybe that would put you in a position where you'd be able to negotiate with the bank and get this property back. Right now, the bank holds all the cards because they have a deed in their name, or supposedly, signed back over by your husband. So that's one. Or you can file an action to quiet title, which is another way to do this. These are property issues, but you're going to have to take the initiative and do that. And if you don't have the money to hire a lawyer or to pay, as you say, the light bill, that's something, that's an old-fashioned term, the light bill. Well, you do more than light with electricity. You cook with it, or you can blow dry your hair, or you can poo-poo. But anyway, I'm distracted again. The light bill. If you don't have the money for the light bill, I wonder whether you're going to have the money to hire an attorney. But that, in fact, is what you're going to have to do. And fortunately, here in America, it's not cheap to hire an attorney. David Rappaport's hourly charges would...
astronomical.
They would make you cry. Make you cry. I hope that helped you. I know it's not an easy answer, but it's what it's what has to happen if you're going to move forward. Otherwise, the bank will get their way.
Oh, my God.
Sorry for being the bearer of bad news, but at least at least you have some direction. Have a blessed Sunday, and thanks for calling Court Radio.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right. 215-263-1003. Yeah, get a lawyer. Yep.
Maybe she had a lawyer in the original divorce process.
Maybe.
But maybe not.
Maybe not.
But you need one now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? All right, let's move on here. 2012, Saul.
What's
the
next?
It really wasn't overturned. Our producer's
it's not quite accurate there. It's still there.
The Pennsylvania voter ID law has not been overturned.
No.
It has been set aside.
Set aside the moment.
For the moment. But it will rear its ugly head again.
Yes.
Unless we unelect every nasty little Republican in Harrisburg who voted in favor of it.
Yeah, what happened was set aside.
There wasn't any Democrats who voted for it, was there?
No. What happened was it was set aside as being improper because of the timing. There wasn't enough time to implement all of the things that it said it wanted to do, and that it would have been unfair, so to speak, to do it that way. But as far as I know, the entire law is still intact and will be in effect for next year's election. So, elections, and then from there on. So it still needs to be fought because...
And the next big election will be the governor, I guess, of Pennsylvania.
I guess. Yeah. Well, every election, look, one thing I've learned, I think you will agree with me as to what's going on.
I always agree with
you. Well, that's not true, but what's going on in our country and all the political things.
Don't poo-poo me.
Is that every election is important. In fact, local elections may be more important sometimes than
school board,
yeah. Committee people, you name it.
Producers,
yeah, right.
Engineers.
So,
board operators.
That was we have that as number two of our big legal things that happened. Trying to keep things sane in this radio show.
Sorry. 215-263-1003. That's right. The Pennsylvania voter ID almost kept good human
disenfranchised
folks from the polls, and and it was defeated at the last possible second. It was put aside until tomorrow.
I think it still did disenfranchise a lot of people. A lot of people still thought you needed it. A lot of polling places actually asked for it, even though you didn't need it, because they were told, you know, you still need to ask for it. Just Pennsylvania, a trial run or whatever.
Pennsylvania Criminal of the Year for 2012, Jerry Sandusky.
How the heck can we forget him?
Yeah.
There you go.
Child molester supreme.
Talk about a train wreck.
Yeah.
Remember when that started out, that story? And he was, boy, I did no wrong. And how that digressed into him becoming, wow.
How about when the board, that board from Penn State convened and threw out
Paterno. Yeah, and then he passed away
after
that.
I mean, we're pretty close.
Yeah, the whole thing. Wow. Yeah, you're right. And then how about the little known or little talked about thing is Governor Corbett's little piece in this. He was on the board. Well, he was attorney general at the time that this stuff was coming out, and he didn't do, a lot of people say, a proper investigation on Jerry Sandusky. Why? Because he was also on the board of Penn State.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wonder if that'll come up on his election, re-election.
It should.
Well, how about the fact that that's a governor you don't even see? At least the chubby checker in New Jersey,
chubby checker.
He's around. Yeah, that's really it.
Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, Krispy Kreme. Well, but anything CC, chubby checker, Krispy
Kreme. I have
Kreme.
To say, though, he's earned a little bit of respect with
he
me
has.
For a lot of different reasons.
Yes. Well, he really supported Obama at a time when
he supported the people. He went outside of his party and said, I need to do the right thing for my people. And he was honest. And one thing you could say about the guy, he's honest. He's a little passionate, maybe a little too passionate sometimes.
Yeah.
But he's honest. So
I can't even go that far. I'm sorry.
Okay.
In that instance, he put what we hold dear, the folks, the ordinary
people,
folks,
right.
He put them ahead of his own interest.
Correct.
And ahead of big business and ahead of his party.
Right.
And I think that was admirable. And it may be, and I just think the jury's still out, it may be that he is a different Republican politician than most.
Right. The jury is still out, but that was certainly a moral victory for him.
Yeah, I definitely. But it may also be that he was, dare I say, he was genius. It was a genius move.
Looking for his future.
He knew that Mitt Romney was going to lose. Really, it wasn't going to affect the final outcome one way or the other.
And he's positioning himself. Well, like you said,
And let me tell you something. If he thought that far down the pike and he didn't have a donut in his hand, that's really... that says a lot about his character. I find that brilliant, admirable.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
So I guess in any case, I admire... Krispy Kreme over there in New Jersey at a very high level now.
Right, so start working out, dude, so that you can continue the good work.
The funny thing is that he doesn't think his weight is an issue for the presidential election.
Yeah, it is. I have to. You remember we had that? Say we can look back on that. We had a little. You and I had a tiff.
An addiction tiff.
Right.
Yeah.
And you said that the weight has a lot to do with it. And I have to.
At the time, you said it didn't.
Well. Yeah, you're right. I did.
Yeah.
I have to say that I'll go back a little bit on that and say that it is a factor.
Yes.
Because health is a factor.
Well, just like, you know, if Obama was a smoker when he came into the White House. And that was a factor because, you know what, we're talking about healthcare, right? Let's get back to healthcare for a second. It costs all of us a lot of money to take care of sick people. If we do things that make us sicker, do we not have an obligation to all of us to live a life that really, makes it so that we're not so dependent on the healthcare system when we turn 60, 65, 70, 75, where we're spending literally millions of dollars, not because, you know, we just had bad luck, not because we're just unfortunately diseased individuals, but because we lived a life that created a diseased body that we now need to nourish in your old age.
It sounds great, but you run a fine line with that argument of infringing upon personal freedom. Because there's a lot of people in this country, and you can't disagree with them, who say, look, I have an occasional cigarette, or I want my Krispy Kreme donut. That's a luxury that I enjoy, and I'm not giving it up.
Okay, but then if you're going to, you know, have diabetes at 60, and you're just going to start tapping into the healthcare system and spending millions of dollars, and you, the paradigm of health,
right.
You've worked out your whole life, you've watched what you've eaten, you're going to have to pay for Krispy Kreme's donut addiction.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I understand what you're talking about, and obesity is at an epidemic levels in our country. But you know, that's almost like you can turn it around too. What about the person who works out all their lives and unfortunately genetically gets cancer? Well, you could argue, you know, we're paying for them too. Blah blah blah. So I don't know. I think it all evens out. There's no question. There's a problem in our country and with obesity. That needs to be addressed, but not just by people. It's corporations, too, selling the drink. You know, it's our whole food system is nuts.
Yeah, you're right. It's a big problem.
Yeah.
One that I think, you know, just like cigarettes, whoever thought that cigarettes would become the way it is? Like,
right.
You know, you're almost like you're an embarrassment to your family
exactly.
and friends if you're a smoker.
Right.
You know, you see them huddled outside of buildings like the little the pariahs that they are.
Really, can you imagine? And you know what? A very short period of time that happened. You have to give kudos to the lawmakers who stood up against the tobacco industry for that.
215-263-1003. We got some other topics for 2012, but first let's take a call from Rhonda East Oak Lane. Gotta love the neighborhoods of Philadelphia.
East Oak Lane, yes.
You know, we're on proud neighborhood folk. All right, Rhonda, what's up? How
Hi.
Are you? Welcome to Court Radio, dear.
Thank you.
All right.
I have a question. My son is a student at Penn State, freshman.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I'm very proud.
Yes.
And went to a store that he has been to several times in the past. But he went to the store this particular day with friends.
In Philly or up around Penn State?
Yes. It's the one up near Pottstown.
Oh, in Penn State area. Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
And he went to the store. The store sits behind the college, and he went to the store, and he purchased all his items, as he usually did, and he put the, there was an iced tea that he didn't want. So you see one of the young men hold the iced tea up, and he says, do you want this? And my son said, no, I'm not going to get that. I already got one. And I guess he thought that his friend would put it back. Instead, his friend starts to, you know, his friend sends it into the cart. My son is steady putting all of his other items there, so he doesn't see the iced tea. When he's about to leave the store, he never got out of the store with this $2 iced tea. He has all his bags. He pays for it. He's about to leave the store. Just as he leaves the store, he gets stopped by, I guess, the security lady, and she says that you have to come in the back with me. And he says, ma'am, you know, I'm sorry. I apologize, but I didn't know the tea was in there. As you can see, I have money, and I paid for all of my items. She takes him to the back of the store. She has him sign a piece of paper. This is a kid who's never been away from home. He was very nervous. He didn't know what to do. She said, if you don't sign it, I'm going to call the police. Then she takes a picture of him. Later, I received, you know, long story short, they said, nothing's going to happen to your son. When I call them to find out what's going on, nothing's going to happen to your son. Everything is fine. So then they sent me a letter from their attorney saying I have to pay $125 for a $2 tea. And I just didn't know what to do. I started to just pay it, but then when I did call an attorney, they told me, you know, no, wait a minute, what are you paying for? So they wanted me to have my son call them because he's 18. They wouldn't talk to me. The attorney wouldn't talk to me. They said they have to talk to my son.
Right.
So I didn't know what to do.
What did he sign? What did he sign?
The paper clearly says that you were attempting to take the tea out of the store. And my son stopped and he said to the lady, wait a minute, this is saying that I was trying to take the tea. Said, I wasn't trying to take the tea. I said to you, ma'am, I didn't know the tea was in there. It was behind my bag. So
okay, well,
this is the great scam that these stores do all the time. I've heard this time and time again.
Here's the first thing I would do. Okay, I think that your son should write a letter disclaiming that earlier statement. Because
okay.
Obviously, the earlier statement was made under duress.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
And you know, right, and duress is a basis for nullifying a contract.
Well, they not only duress, they purposely said, if you don't sign this, we're going to call the police. And he doesn't know what's going to happen if the police come. So,
I think as a preliminary matter, I think he needs to disclaim that statement that he earlier made under duress and write to them and in no uncertain terms, let them know that it was not his intent to steal anything.
Right.
And so that sort of sets the stage. And then see what they do. You know, let put the responsibility on them. Now, here's the hitch in this. The only hitch is, you know, I don't want you calling me when he gets, let's say, they file a summary charge against him,
right,
and say, well, Dean, you told me to, you know, you told me not to pay the $125. Well, there could be a consequence. The consequence may be that they, you know, they got the this district justice probably up there, some cowpoke town, you know, that, you know, he goes into their store every day so he can get his donut and coffee, and he may routinely file summary offenses, like a traffic citation kind of offenses, and your son may be charged with one of those, which he has to then go up there and fight. And you know, so this could turn into some kind of a long, drawn-out thing that costs you a lot more than $125. That being said, if this is a point of contention and you're not willing to just acknowledge or hush money them quiet, then, you know, I think at a preliminary matter, he sends them a letter. Don't address the $125. Don't deny or agree or anything. Just send a letter saying, I never intended to steal this. It wasn't my intent. This was purely an accident. I paid for all my belongings, and the video demonstrates that quite clearly, and then leave it like that, and then put the ball back in their court and see what they do.
Okay. Now, there was one other thing I have to ask before we go.
I'm so sorry. You gave us the opportunity to close the year.
I should have said that.
I applaud you for giving us the opportunity to end the year with a dropped call.
Yeah, never preface the second question with, I have one more thing to ask you. Just do it, or else. Yeah.
You have to learn to weave it in a way that I am confused. And I'm not easily confused. But when you preface it by saying, here's the second question, everybody who listens to Court Radio knows that you get one question only, and then after that first question, if you go into a second one, we have to dump you like yesterday's bad fish. Splash. Oh, well, there you go. Bye-bye.
A little late. Yeah. You can call back, though.
Yeah.
You'll
probably
1 minute.
You probably won't get us in 2012. David. So
she was nice. I was ashamed to do that.
Yeah, well, but we did give her some good advice on the first part.
Yeah, I was just going to say real quick, that's a scam. I think that's a scam. I've heard of that so many times where they take you in the back, they make you sign something, then they say you pay us $100 and some odd. What is that? It's crazy.
Yeah, because if you really stole something of any, they'd have the police there. You'd be in handcuffs.
Of course.
Bent over the pretzel cat.
That's right.
Display.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, on a more serious note.
Yes.
We had some horrible, you know, gun violence, as we do every year in, you know, I mean.
Really came to the forefront.
Filling up our list for 2012, we have Trayvon Martin's death. We have the death of the children in Connecticut. We have a lot of death. We have probably 10,000 deaths in the United States this year from handguns and from assault weapons. And it seems like perhaps President Obama and the politicos, as we like to call them, perhaps they're eventually going to get a handle on reducing gun violence.
Yep. It's a tough issue, but I think people are ready.
I do too. All right, folks, we're running out of time. You're
Happy
listening
New Year.
To Court Radio. God bless. Happy New Year. Healthy New Year. A legal New Year. If you have any questions, you need any legal advice, please give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727, where we represent folks who are injured. Both on the job, injured at work, and injured by doctors and hospitals and others. This is really our forte. We are in so many other areas of the law. Feel free to give us a call always, first and foremost, 215-227-2727. And try to kick me over the 1,000 mark with likes on Facebook this year. Thank you very much, Kyle. Larry, Monica, David. Yes. Court Radio has had a fabulous run in 2012, and we're looking forward and excited for 2013. God bless and goodbye.
Happy New Year.
Your loved one is getting medical care, and someone makes a tragic mistake. Now they'll need round-the-clock care or worse, and you're left alone. I'm Dean Weitzman of My Philly Lawyer. Call us at 215-227-2727. For more than 30 years, My Philly Lawyer has been holding hospitals and insurance companies accountable for medical mistakes. Call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you're injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.